when the trials you face turn into your darkest night, and you're hoping in some way the darkness will turn to light, and you feel all alone and no one is there with you. Never fear, my God is holding you. He is there to comfort you when you feel your world is shifting. He is there to hold you when everything is changing. My Lord's still there. Some days I was so lost, I just couldn't see Him. There were moments I felt my heart would just give in. But when you are through the trying, and there's nothing left to do, never fear, my God is holding you. He is there to comfort you when you feel your world is shifting. My Lord's still there. He is there.
Joe, thank you for that. That was a tremendous song. I appreciate it. Done on a moment's notice. I appreciate it. Let's go to Isaiah 40 tonight. Isaiah 40 in your Bible, one of my favorite passages in all the Scriptures, Isaiah chapter 40, and just a thought or two for us here tonight out of this good chapter, maybe a little bit along the line of what Brother Joe just sang about, unbelievably. And so let's look here at a few verses beginning toward the end of the chapter. If you're getting familiar with your Bible, it's nearly in the middle. Okay, you find Psalms, go to the right a few pages, you'll come to Isaiah chapter 40, and we're there at verse number 27. Verse number 27, follow along. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might He increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. I'll give that little word in verse number 31. About 9th word in, looks like, that little word, renew. Let's talk to you a little bit about that tonight. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the good church service we've enjoyed so far, the time of praying together and then singing, and the good song by Brother Joe. And I thank you, Lord, for speaking to hearts through that good music. And Lord, now would you please take the message and just hook it on, and may you use both the music and the message together to touch somebody's heart, I pray. We'll thank you for it, God, in Jesus' name. And amen. There's no doubt but that each and every one of us can look back at the days, weeks, and months that made up the year 2015, and exclaim like David did in Psalms 145, verse 9, where he said, "The Lord is good to all." We could all say amen to that. We could individually testify tonight of specific ways in which God has been good to us. And I'm sure that everybody can think of several ways, specific ways, where God was good to you in the past 12 months. If you got saved in the past 12 months, God was especially good to you. And if you're not saved, you know, God can be real good to you in these remaining hours of the year 2015 by giving you the salvation that's available through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're not saved, I would invite you to see one of us tonight, even during the fellowship time, and just say, you know, I don't know if any, I don't have any idea where I'll spend eternity, either heaven or hell. And brother, to come to salvation in the last hours of the year 2015 would be the greatest thing in the world that you could experience. And maybe that happened to you this year. As we look back, these memories would include the good times as well as those that we might call the bad times. And it might take a while for us to see God's goodness in the bad times. But if we trust Him and just stay with Him and be faithful, we'll get to see the goodness of God in the bad times as well as the good times. And probably it'll be more special to us in those difficult times than it was even in the easy times. Maybe for some in this room, you survey the past 12 months, you might summarize it as a very difficult year for whatever reason. Events, circumstances, situations, disappointments, and sometimes even plain old aging might have added up to make it a year that left you a little bit depleted. Depleted. And depletion does not happen overnight. Depletion is something that happens over the course of time, a little bit at this time and a little bit at that time. And maybe that's how you kind of feel at the end of year 2015, is just, you know, spiritually depleted. And because of that, your vision for the future can get clouded and you can be overcome with pessimism. I hope this passage of Scripture will reach out and touch the heart that is neediest tonight in this room, because it is a great passage of Scripture concerning the very thing I was just talking about. Now, let me give you the setting. The book of Isaiah can be divided into two main categories. The first 39 chapters are prophetical concerning the coming judgment Israel would experience at the hands of Assyria and Babylon. You remember, Israel was divided into two kingdoms, north and south. Israel, the northern kingdom, would go into captivity first. Then Judah would go into captivity second. Israel would go to captivity in Assyria. Judah would go to captivity in Babylon. That's what the first section is largely about. And it's largely about warning to God's people to get things fixed, get things right, so that you can avoid judgment. You know, God is not anxious to drop the hammer on us, folks. Now, if we ignore Him, after a while, He has to do that because He's a just God. And He can't put up with sin forever, and especially rebellion and refusing to turn our heart back to Him. But He's not like, you know, looking forward to smashing somebody. And He gave them all kinds of opportunity and warning. That's what the first 39 chapters, that's what that part of the book is about. Now, the second section is different. It's prophetical, but it has a different theme. It's very interesting because it contains God's promises to His people during the Babylonian captivity. So get the picture of the book. Here you got the first part of the book. God is saying, look, judgment is coming, but it can be avoided if you turn your heart toward Me. You know, the whole head is sick from the head. The whole body is sick from the head to the foot. But if you'll turn your heart, all of that coming judgment can be avoided. That's what the first part is about. The second part is God looking beyond and knowing, according to His foreknowledge, that they would not turn. They would not repent. They would not get things right. And as a result, they would go into judgment. They would go into captivity. And so the last 26 chapters is God saying to His people in captivity, I haven't forgotten you. I'm not finished with you. I'm not done with you yet. And chapter 40 begins that second section. You can sense the tone of the prophecy right away in verse number 1, where He speaks to them and says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. He is writing that to them knowing that they're going into captivity. They're going to have this part of the parchment, the scriptures of Isaiah, to read in captivity. So while they're under the Babylonian oppression, they're going to read those words, comfort me, comfort ye my people, there in verse number 1, saith your God. It's a very, very precious passage in the Bible, chapters 40 through 66. Now, beginning in verse number 27, God tells His people that they will faint in captivity. And He tells them, He does this by telling them some comments that they will make. They will make these comments in captivity. Look at what they will say in verse number 27. He says, they will say, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. He's prophesying now that they're going to say that during the captivity. The Babylonian captivity would get heavy. And they will say, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. They will say that God has chosen to overlook us. God has left us alone. They will faint in their faith. They will be depleted in strength. Their faith will be depleted. They will not see the hand of God in a visible way working on their behalf, and they will get despondent and despairing. And in their despondency, they will think like this: God just doesn't work like He used to. Things have changed between us and God. We have failed Him so miserably that He has written us off, and we are incapable of ever being renewed. That's what they're going to be thinking. The truth of the matter is, folks, God had not left them alone. Just, I can't believe He sang that song. God had not left them alone. He had not overlooked them. And even though they had sinned and failed miserably and would be in captivity, God wanted them to know He was not through with them. He was not done with them. That's what He's saying here in verse number 27. You see that. You see God's attitude toward them in the very way He addresses them through the prophet Isaiah. Look at the very first statement of chapter 40, verse 27. Look at that statement, verse 27. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel? Now look at what He calls them. He calls them Jacob and Israel. That's not two different men. That's the same man. Jacob was that conniving, lying, deceitful trickster who was selfish and was a supplanter. That's who Jacob was. Israel was that prince with God, from whose lineage would come the Messiah. Now think about what God is saying. What He's saying to His people is, you know what? You've acted like Jacob. You have failed me. You've sinned. You've gone away from me. You brought my judging hand upon you. You deserve the punishment that you received because you have neglected my mercy. I've warned you. I've exhorted you to turn. You could have repented. You could have drawn close to me, but you didn't. Jacob. Jacob. You lying, deceiving, conniving, trickster, supplanter. Look at you. You deserve what you've gotten. But then He called them Israel, that prince with God, and God would do with them in captivity what He had done with Jacob. What did He do with Jacob? He changed Jacob. He changed him completely when he wrestled with the angel that night, and God touched him, and God changed his name from Jacob to Israel. God renewed that man, and God is saying to His people, just like I renewed your father of the faith, Jacob, I'm going to touch you, and I'm going to bring you out of captivity. I'm going to pull you off the shelf. I'm going to put you back to favor in my sight, just like I did to Jacob when I changed him from Jacob to Israel. And maybe that's what somebody in this room needs to see tonight. You know, when you look back over the last year, you feel like God has left you alone, that He's chosen to overlook and ignore your dilemmas. Maybe you have not seen the hand of God visibly working on your behalf. Maybe you're fainted and your faith, as you come to the end of 2015, is depleted. And you begin to wonder, is there ever any chance of returning to God's favor and God's blessing and being renewed in spiritual strength? Is there any possibility? And what we look, folks, we look right here at this passage and we see that what God did for Israel, He recorded for us so that we could read this and take encouragement and learn from it. God can renew people. God can restore. God can make faith renewed. He can renew the depleted in their faith. The rest of this chapter is used to remind Israel that whatever they will go through won't and can't change God. Even if you're in captivity, it can't change me. Look at verse number 28. Look at what he says here. He says, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. You may faint in your faith, but I have not. You may be weary, but I am not." I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about God saying that. "You may be confused, but my understanding has no limit." Folks, their being in captivity and their being depleted of their strength and of their faith didn't change God one bit. He's the same God He's always been. Had always been. That's what He was saying to them. Look at verse number 29, what He said here. "He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength." God is looking to give power and strength to the fainting and the weary. Are you depleted tonight? Have you kind of run out of gas in your faith as you've come to the end of 2015? You think God's done with me? No, He's not. He's never been done with people. No, He's not that kind of God. And He's writing to His people knowing they're going to be in captivity. And when they're in captivity, they're going to read this passage of Scripture. They're going to take encouragement from it. Look at verse 30. "Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall." The time will come, God says, when even the youths shall faint and the young men shall fail. You know, it's not normal for the youth to faint and for young men to fail or fall because they possess energy and strength. But things are going to get so tough in Babylon during the captivity that even the young people of Israel would be depleted of their strength and their faith, if you will. So what's the answer to all this? Well, that great verse number 31, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." I love that. "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." Now, that word "wait" has been given a couple of definitions over the years. You know, we use the word "wait," meaning to rest in expectation and patience. We might make this statement: "I will wait until he arrives at the house. I'm just going to stay there and wait. I'm expecting him to come, and I'll be patient until he gets there." Or we use the word "wait" in another sense: to be ready to obey, to be ready to serve and to obey. "I'm prepared to wait on you when you are ready." Folks, this word is probably a combination of both. And when you look at the next word, "they that wait upon the Lord," it kind of gives the idea of that second definition, to be ready to serve and to obey. I'm going to wait on God, serving Him and obeying Him, patiently expecting Him. I'm waiting for Him to renew my faith. Folks, God is in the business of renewing His people. God is in the business of renewing faith. He's in the business of renewing strength. He is in the business of increasing might. And for those who might be depleted and running short on supply at the end of year 2015, you are the one that God is ready and willing and looking forward to helping. He would love to renew your strength. Now, why do you think these verses are recorded for us? Why is this in the Bible? Is it not because God, who made us, knows us? He knows us. In Psalm 103, verse 14, He said this, but the Bible says, "For He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust." God made us. He knows us. I had a little trouble earlier this year with water leaking into my basement. You remember how wet it was back in the spring, right? And all the sump pump issues. I remember walking into Farming Fleet on a Friday morning, and they had two pallets of sump pumps. One was a half horsepower. The other pallet was 3/4 horsepower. And for some reason, I had to go back to Farmer Fleet Friday evening, and the two pallets, they were all the way down to the last layer of sump pumps on each pallet. In one day, they had sold all those sump pumps. You remember how bad it was? I don't know if you, I bought a sump pump during the spring, okay? And I had water trouble, and I was trying to figure things out at the house, and I thought some drain tile went a certain way, but the water was coming in. I was thinking, man, how is it coming in through there? How is that happening? And so my neighbor, right south of me, works right over here at the Bourbonnais Township building, and he and I were talking one day, and he said, Terry, the guy who dug the foundation and did all the work for that house is Steve over here. He said, my boss. He said, he'll come out. And so I lined it up over the phone with Steve. He came out, and I think he's the road commissioner for Bourbonnais Township. And he came out, nicest guy I ever met, went to Grace Baptist Church years and years, doesn't go there now, but used to go there, saved man, says he's saved, sent his kids to Grace Baptist Academy years ago. And so he said, yeah, he came and he said, well, this drain tile runs this way, and it comes out here like this, it wires together and goes out in that field, and this goes out and empties out in the back. And Steve talked me through all, I didn't have any drawings, didn't have any plans, I didn't know what was what. Steve talked me through every little detail of that drain tile and helped me out with my problem. You know why it was so refreshing to talk to Steve? He made it. And because he made it, he built it, he dug it, he could talk knowledgeably. He could talk with a lot of help. Now, folks, you know why God puts this in the Word? You know why God has recorded this for us? Because He knows us. Look, there are no robots in this room. There are no spiritual robots here. He is aware that we're not robots. We don't run on AC or DC electric power. We don't have batteries. There is no solar energy that's soaked up that keeps our spiritual battery, our spiritual charge. Our spiritual energy has very little to do with our physique or our physical conditioning. And God knows that His people will faint. They can't live like this. Wouldn't it be wonderful to get saved here and live on an upward slant all the way until you see the Lord Jesus? Nobody lives like that. Not even the Apostle Paul. Jesus Christ was the only one who was born and then increased all the way because He is God. That doesn't happen to people. Everybody flags. Everybody's faith gets depleted. Everybody's spiritual energy goes through slumps. God knows that. And so He says to people who start to despair and get despondent in a faith slump, hey, I'm still who I am. And I still have power. And I still have might. And I'm looking for the one who's fainting, ready to help, ready to build up, ready to strengthen, ready to renew. I just need you to do one thing. Wait on me. It may not happen when you want it to. Well, I've been waiting long enough and I don't feel re-energized yet. Well, you know what? You're not God. Wait on Him. But don't wait sitting out of all that you should be doing for the Lord while you're waiting on Him with expectation and patience. Obey Him and serve Him. And in God's good time, He'll show up. Faith will be increased. The depletion will be renewed. That's what He's promised here. He knows it will flag sometimes. So He promises to those who wait on Him, just wait on Me, and I will renew your strength. That's the difficulty, being steady with patience. Being steady with patience. 35 years worth of observation, I've come to there is nobody that I know of who has any advantage over anybody else when it comes to just being comes to serving God. Well, my background. People, there are folks with terrible backgrounds who are serving God. It has everything to do with learning to survive the times when your faith flags and you've got to just wait on God. Wait on, I don't think wait means sit in some kind of meditational yoga-like trance. Wait means I sing my songs, I read my Bible, I teach my class, I love the Lord, I pass out a tract, I love my spouse, I love my children, I train, I influence people, you know, and I'm just waiting for God's moment in time when He will renew my depleted strength, because He promised to do that for those that wait on Him. But you got to wait on Him. And my last thought is this, because it's 8:59 and I said we'd be done in an hour and I got to go quicker, I'll be a liar. Restore. There is a difference between restore and renew. Restore means to reestablish or to bring back into existence. So you can restore something, but not pull it back into its original condition. Renew means to make something new again as in its original condition. You go back to when your faith was on fire. And if it has waned, God has the strength and the ability and the desire to renew it. To take you back to that original condition with your heart on fire, excited about living for God. Wait on Him. God can make an Israel out of a Jacob. And God can renew our strength when we faint. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Father in heaven, we love You. We thank You for this great passage in Your book. Thank You for knowing us and realizing exactly what we are. Thank You, God, for looking down through the corridors of time and knowing that because of what we're made of, an old fleshly nature, that we'll flag in our faith. God, thank You for telling us that You'll renew our strength. Encourage somebody's heart tonight, I pray. That is my prayer. I pray that 2016 will be a time of renewal for some folks in the church. A renewed faith. A renewed energy to serve You. God, make it so, I pray. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're not saved, what a great night to come to Christ for salvation. Maybe you want to use the altar and pray as the ladies play, just a verse of invitation.